Now, there are still many details to be worked out for the TXU deal. One key question is how compatible the proposed three new coal-fired power plants would be with emerging technologies that could capture their global warming gases. But even having such questions in play indicates a big change in thinking by major investors, including Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, and other Wall Street investment banks that are backing up the deal. For a closer look at this shift in the economic landscape, we turn now to Billy Pizer. He's an environmental economist and senior fellow at Resources for the Future, a think tank in Washington, D.C. Hi there.
Hello, Steve.
So walk us through what these two private equity firms are hoping to do by purchasing TXU. This energy market is a very complicated business.
Well, I think they believe that they can rearrange, repackage, manage better in a way that'll raise the asset value of the company, and that at some point in the future they can sell it and make money. The thinking that they have is that there's something that's undervalued there, and that by bringing their expertise to the table, they can add value, they can increase the brand value, they can increase the efficiency of the organization, they can do something to change the way the company is run or operated or perceived that raises its value. And that's what their interest is when they take over a company like this.
So what's the strategy on including environmental groups at this stage of the negotiations? And what do you think the environmental groups achieve by coming to the table?
Well, that's a good question. I think that, you know, for KKR and the other funders, you know, the real advantage of bringing the environmental groups in is the environmental groups give them more stakeholders at the table, bringing support for this deal. So it just kind of makes sense that if all these people were cheering against TXU before and you can bring them to the table cheering for the new guys, and that's going to put additional pressure to make the deal go through. In terms of what the environmentalists get, they presumably were able to negotiate better pieces of the deal than they would have gotten if they hadn't been at the table. So you have money being spent on energy efficiency. You have a commitment to renewables. Whether or not those things were originally on the table when the buyers started crafting the deal is not clear. But certainly the environmentalists, I'm sure, got something out of the deal.
How much of a sea change in our approach to coal-fired power plants does this proposed deal represent? I mean, is this some kind of a watershed event, this proposal?
I don't think it's a huge watershed. I mean, the bottom line is they're still building three coal plants, and they're going to do some additional renewables, and they're going to do some energy efficiency. But in a growing part of the country, they're going to need more power. And a really complicated question is, what is that power going to look like, that new baseload capacity? And fundamentally, there are only three choices. There's natural gas, there's coal, and there's nuclear. You can build renewables, but you need to have backup generation when the wind doesn't blow. You can do energy efficiency, but when you invest in energy efficiency, you're not quite sure what you're going to get. So there's going to have to be some more capacity built. And when people look at the spectrum of those three choices, a lot of times coal still comes up looking good. And I think what the environmentalists are pushing for is just don't build more than you need and try to work as much as you can on the renewables, try to work as much as you can on the energy efficiency. So it's not so much a sea change as much as I think it is kind of mounting pressure to think harder about how much coal is going to be built.
Some of the banks that would lend Texas Pacific Group and KKR the money for this are putting some of their own equity into the deal. I mean, why are banks willing to take on extra risk in this case?
Well, I mean, they have to feel like it's a good deal. I mean, they have to feel like there is a profit opportunity for them there. They clearly are attracted, I think, to the environmental angle. I think it kind of benefits everyone, including the environment. And so, you know, I think they're there because they think that the management team that the investors are putting together and the strategy they have for saving money and helping the consumers, helping the environment, and helping the investors is a solid one. And, you know, the other thing is I think that there is a sense in which, you know, these guys are kind of reading the tea leaves in terms of the direction that policies are going and the direction that we're moving in the country. And the fact that they've kind of recognized this and they're putting their money into it, I think has attracted other people's money. And, you know, when you see other investors kind of realizing that this is the direction, there are a lot of people out there trying to make money off of this change that's going on in the United States. And, you know, I don't call it a sea change, but I call it, it's a gradual change taking place as people look towards more environmentally friendly investments. And the people who are quicker on the draw are going to make more money, and the people who are slower are not.
What's really the most important thing about this proposed buyout for the climate change debate?
I think it highlights where the middle is. I think on the one hand, you have a bunch of companies out there who maybe kind of living in the past a little bit, thinking a lot about coal as being the way of the future and pulverized coal as being, you know, the way we've done it before and the way we're going to keep doing it in the future. On the flip side, you have environmentalists who don't want to see any new coal builds happen from this day forward. And what this deal, I think, represents is how the middle is going to work. You're going to build some coal plants, but you're going to spend money on energy efficiency. You're going to spend money on renewables. And it's going to be a package of things that leads to less emissions than we would have had otherwise. But it's still going to require some emissions growth, especially for the near term. And I think the really valuable message from this is there is a way forward, and there is a way that we can compromise between what the two sides are arguing for and still end up satisfying our customers and satisfying the environment and satisfying investors.
Billy Pizer is an environmental economist and senior fellow at Resources for the Future in Washington. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Steve.
Just ahead, honeybees are crucial for pollinating crops, but they're disappearing, and scientists are racing to solve the mystery. That's coming up on Living on Earth.